again this week to the Grace Baptist Ministry, our teaching ministry. Again, we have a number of avenues for you to follow us. The YouTube channel, of course, which seems to be most popular. Have a very, very good website as well, gbcga.com. The same messages in very good quality. The sermon audio, where you get the sound of each of these messages. Just pray that you would listen to some of those. Again, it's a pleasure to be with you today. Brother Gene is a little bit under the weather. Could be that he will still be able to get a message in. We just don't know yet. So be praying for him. Very, very important. God has certainly raised him up for many years to be a blessing to so many of God's people. As a matter of fact, the message that he brought last week is what has motivated me to do this Sunday school message today. It's just one phrase from what he spoke about last week. But again, I want us to go a little deeper into this particular scripture that Brother Gene covered last week. Today, we're going to look at kindness and severity of God from Romans 11:22. I'm going to read that to begin the message today, and then we're going to break it down almost word by word and see what the Lord God gives us here. Romans 11:22. Of course, folks, I'm reading from a literal translation of this scripture. Therefore, behold, kindness and severity of God. Indeed, severity upon the ones having fallen. However, kindness of God toward you, if you should continue in the kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Now, I know that many of you who use the King James Version may have already noted I'm using the word kindness in this text rather than goodness, as seen in your King James Bible. I'm going to explain that a bit more as we go on, but that's got to have to wait until the last mention of goodness in this particular verse, and then I will explain to you my reason for using kindness. For right now, let's study this verse and its background along with what is meant for us to know from this portion of the Holy Scripture. The verse begins with, therefore, behold. Because of what was said immediately before, therefore, behold, see with the mind's eye, perceive, understand what the following scripture from the Spirit of Christ says. Those two little words point us in that direction. Immediately before that verse, we saw that the nation of Israel, not every individual member thereof, but the physical nation of Israel, was cut off from the relationship, from their fellowship with God because of unbelief. This being true, God turned as his major focus for salvation away from the nation of Israel to people from every tribe and language and people and nation, which of course speaks of the Gentiles. From those two scenarios that I've just mentioned, the cutting off of the nation of Israel and the salvation of people from among every part of the rest of humanity, we see, we perceive, we understand kindness and severity of God. Again, therefore, behold, kindness and severity of God. Now, reading on in Romans 11:22, indeed, severity. Just those two words. Indeed, severity. The word indeed is affirming the reality of severity upon the persons having fallen due to their unbelief. Severity, and again, folks, it's so very, very important that we understand what these words mean. Severity comes from a word that means abruptly, in a manner that cuts sharply. It means the decisiveness of God's retribution. Now, in other words, God's punishment of vengeance upon those who will not believe will come suddenly and unexpectedly, with a result that cuts to the quick in a settled manner. No pardon, no reprieve, no appeal. I don't think people can understand anything like that today. They don't understand finality. But again, here, there is no repeal. There is no pardon. There is no reprieve. It's final. Now, that is the fate of those who at the last day are found in a settled state of unbelief. Some of those very people may have professed with their lips to be believers at one time or another, but have not endured to the end and have fallen away. Folks, that is so many people, isn't it? Look at your own churches, the places where the true church congregates, and see and remember how many have come through that front door, professed to know Christ, professed their faith, and then all of a sudden they're gone, never to return again. Well, folks, those people have nothing in store for themselves but severity of God. And we live in a day and time where severity is something we just don't talk about much. Things bad happening to us. This is America. Everybody has a chance to be whatever they want to be. If they think they can be that, they can be that. Well, folks, except you be looking to the Lord God for direction in your life, seeking His counsel as to what you should do, you're going to be in big trouble. You will not be able to figure things out for yourself. You're not going to map your own special way. And folks, you may be met with great severity in your lives. Remember, we said that word had to do with something that occurs suddenly, unexpectedly, final severity. 1 Thessalonians, listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 and 3 shows us just that. Again, I read from a literal translation. For you yourselves, he speaks to the people of God, for you yourselves know fully that the day of the Lord comes in this manner, as a thief in night. For when they might say peace and security, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as to her having labor pains in a womb, and know They shall not escape. It is final. Bible is its own best commentary, isn't it, folks? You can find things that explain things that you can't understand in other portions of the Bible, if you'll seek to do so. And then, speaking of that finality, and then we see we are made to understand, thanks be to God, the other scenario. We've just mentioned this severity, which nobody is looking for, but it'll come. It'll come. But we look at another scenario that is shown in this verse 22 of Romans chapter 11. It continues further. However, kindness toward you, if you should continue in the kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Now, notice, folks, the verse there, the truth given there, is directed toward you. Towards you. Of course, when I read it, folks, it's directed towards me. Now, what do we see there? However, kindness toward you, if you should continue in the kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. We see a wonderful promise. We see a promise made with a condition and a most solemn warning. Promise, condition, warning. Now, before we go forward, we must understand what we mean by kindness. And again, I'm getting to explain the reason I use that word. The word in all three places, in Romans 11, 22, that Greek word is number 5544 in Strong's Concordance. Now, this is very interesting. You know, the Strong's Concordance is keyed to the King James Version. The King James translates this word in the New Testament as goodness 4 times and as kindness 4 times. Indeed, I've seen it written that these two words in the Greek could be considered synonyms. So close to being the same. In holding me, I'm holding to using kindness as the best word here. And I'm going to explain why. In an explanation of that Greek word, Strong's says, now listen to this. This is a man who had great expertise in the Greek. And then, of course, he uses other sources as well. Strong says, kindness is goodness in action. That's real good. That is a fine explanation there. Kindness is goodness in action. And may I add, because this is all important, kindness is goodness in action, seeking the benefit of others. Seeking the benefit of others. That is exactly what we see here in Romans 11:22. God seeking the benefit of others. Indeed, providing the benefit for others. That is one reason using kindness rather than goodness is more fitting. Keep listening to me. I've got a lot more to say about that. Secondly, and this is all important, folks, as someone bringing you the Word of God, I have to be thorough in my investigation concerning the Word of God. We have many admonitions in Scripture toward teachers of the Word of God along that line. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't rightly divide except you get in there and you divide. And you deal with these things. So secondly, I want us to consider other solid translations of the original text that use kindness rather than goodness. I didn't start by trying to look at a word that I could change and come up with another word for it. It's just because this is what the study leads to. The online interlinear source that I use comes from Bible Hub. I would highly suggest that to you. Bible Hub is a great spot to go to. BibleHub.com. They have commentaries that are just unbelievable. I don't use the commentaries that much, but they've got John Gill, they've got John Calvin, they've got all the great grace men and their commentaries on the Scripture. So I'm using their interlinear as far as the online interlinear is concerned. I also have my own Greek, which is different, Greek interlinear Bible that I use at home as well. How many of you use the Amplified Bible? I know a lot of us do. It's a great source to expand upon the Word of God. The Amplified Bible translates this word as gracious kindness. The English Standard Version, another very, very good translation. I don't know if you folks know these people, but the English Standard Version is endorsed by John Piper and R.C. Sproul. These are notable grace preachers. The English Standard Version uses kindness rather than goodness. The New American Standard Version, another very good translation. Again, you folks, I'm sure a number of you are familiar with John MacArthur. That's the Bible, English Bible he preaches out of. And John MacArthur is well-versed in the Greek language. The New American Standard translates this Greek word as kindness. There were 11 other translations that I looked at that used the word kindness instead of goodness. I'm not going to talk about all those, but I'm going to report on one of them because it's the one that made me think, shoot, I need to use the word kindness. And that was the translation of William Tyndale, translated by William Tyndale, the Tyndale Bible, first printed in 1535. He finished that translation, I think, about 1525, but you had that Gutenberg press come along, and it was printed in 1535. Folks, Tyndale was executed for heresy. And part of that heresy was the fact that he translated into common English the Bible. It's one of the reasons that he was executed. First he was strangled to death and then burned at the stake. What is a little known fact in this world today, and I would suggest that you'd be good to look this up. You could go online. There are tons of stories about William Tyndale. The text of the King James Version is heavily reliant upon the Tyndale New Testament. That's an absolute fact. If you read it, you're going to find people that state 75 to 93% of the King James Version New Testament is straight out of Tyndale's translation. Now, this is what made me think I had better use the word kindness. You know why? The Tyndale translation has our Greek word in Romans 11:22 that's used three times. He translated it kindness. Kindness is goodness in action, seeking the benefit of others. I'd like to read some words to you now from our Lord Jesus Christ, Mark chapter 10, verse 18. Christ, after being called a good teacher, he looked at them and said, "Why do you call me good? No one good, if not alone, the God." And that's literally what that text says. I like that. No one good, if not alone, the God. If you want to see God's goodness in action, look to our key verse today and perceive His kindness. This Romans 11:22 demonstrates that. Listen to some factors about that. This is what we see there in Romans 11:22. After cutting off the nation of Israel due to their unbelief, God showed kindness to you who are not of that physical nation. I'm not. Our exact same Greek word from 11:22, Romans 11:22, that's used three times, is seen in Ephesians 2:7 to show this kindness to God's elect outside of the physical nation of Israel. Ephesians 2:7. In order that He, the Lord God Himself, might show in the ages, the ones coming, the surpassing riches of the grace of Him in kindness, same Greek word, in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now, what is the result of that kindness there in Ephesians 2:7? Well, you'll see some of it as you go through that chapter, but in verse 19 it says it explicitly. The result of that kindness we see in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul writes this: "So then, no longer are you strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God." Folks, this is God doing something for our benefit, for our good. Children of God, united to Christ. That's what it's telling you. Children of God, united to Christ. This is God's kindness toward you, if you're one of His people. How good is God? Well, let me show you that kindness He has showed you, His elect, in another scripture. Explicitly true again, because it's the exact same Greek word. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Listen up. Again using the same Greek word. "When, however," in Paul's letter to Titus, "when, however, the kindness," our same word, "the kindness and the love to mankind of the Savior of us, God, appeared, not by the works of righteousness that we did, but according to His mercy," the mercy of Him, "He saved us through washing of regeneration and renewing of Holy Spirit, whom," this Holy Spirit, "He poured out on us." Notice all those us's. He saved us. He poured out on us the Spirit of Christ abundantly through Christ, the Savior of us, so that having been justified by that grace, we should become heirs according to the hope, the expectation of life eternal. What did that verse begin with? God's kindness. God's kindness coupled with His love led to his mercy to save us from our sins through the cleansing Spirit of Christ, who renewed our hearts and minds in the new birth unto the justification of faith by grace, that we might become God's children with the expectation of eternal life. Everlasting fellowship with God through everlasting relationship to God in Christ. Now, you know, that's what you see in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. All began with kindness. God's kindness providing us with eternal benefit. Overwhelming advantage. Oh my goodness, folks. Do you realize how your election in Christ is an advantage to you? You didn't choose him. He chose you. Now what do you do with that? Do you hate that? Because you just didn't get to exercise your own free will? No. No. If you're a recipient of that, truly a recipient, you fall on your face. Worshiping God, realizing his sovereign grace to you. You would not be that recipient except for the grace of God. The sovereign grace of God. Thanks be to God. God's kindness, his goodness in action for the benefit of us is exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But before we put the cart before the horse, let's not forget the condition and the warning in today's main text. The kindness, well, let me read that other portion of that verse first. It spoke of his kindness toward you. Followed by what? The word if. If you continue in the kindness. The kindness that we have to continue in is his kindness. Now, how do we do that? How do we continue in his kindness? Well, folks, we must exercise the kindness of God to others. But again, preacher, how? What are you talking about? We find our Greek word again in Galatians 5:22. Where God speaks through the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God for doing that, concerning the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, you know what that means? It means the Spirit's fruit. It means the fruit belonging to the Spirit. What are these fruits? They are the virtues, the righteousnesses of the Spirit of God who indwells God's people, enabling God's people to exercise that fruit. Those virtues, those righteousnesses, all nine of them. Excuse me just a moment. I'm going to be reading, and this is eye-opening because of the fact that we see two words back-to-back, and then I'm going to need to explain to you a little bit about it, the way your King James has handled it. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. This is the literal translation, folks. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, Now, I know that your King James says gentleness there. Goodness, your King James does use that there, but it is a completely different word than the word they've translated kindness in Romans 11:22. Okay? King James is different. Kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And actually it says against such things there is no law. I want you to notice kindness and goodness are back to back there in the literal translation. The exercise, and I would suggest this to you, just from what we've seen thus far, kindness and goodness back to back in the Holy Scripture. The exercise of kindness as the activity of goodness is being seen right there. Being seen right there. And remember, folks, kindness, when we use kindness, is motivated by the Holy Spirit of God, enabled by the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us. Kindness is seeking the benefit of others, not seeking our own benefit. Now you can bank on that one. That's absolutely true. Now the King James Version has gentleness, where the more literal translation, I checked this with my online Greek interlinear, has our same Greek word from 11:22, kindness. It's fitting. Both interlinears I read, I told you, I have them at home, along with the Authorized Standard Version, the Amplified Bible, the English Standard Version, the New American Standard, the New King James, the Revised Standard Version, all use kindness rather than gentleness in Galatians 5:22. Now again, why do I say that? Because I would rather be more accurate for your sake and for my sake in dealing with the Word of God. Well, it's simply the most accurate word to use in both Romans 11 and Galatians chapter 5. If you have a different opinion, that's good. No problem. And you know why I say that? Again, remember earlier I spoke about the fact that kindness and goodness could really be synonyms. But once again, kindness is goodness in action. My brothers and sisters, I'm winding down now. If you are not, brothers and sisters, and I'm speaking to me, if you are not putting goodness into action by practicing kindness, then you may fit in the text in Romans 8:9. You know, all kinds of folks profess with the lips this and that, but don't endure to the end. The latter part of Romans 8:9 says this: if, however, anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, that one is not of Him. If you are not of Him, listen up, folks. Listen to this string of truths. If you are not of Him, which means born anew of Him, born of God, you don't have the Spirit of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have the Spirit's fruit. There's all kinds of ACTS out there, actors. But then there are those who, from the heart, perform certain things, which is the truth of the Scripture. If you don't have the Spirit's fruit, you don't have a heartfelt kindness. that will endure to the end. You cannot continue, people, in something you don't possess. You can profess it, but if you don't possess it, you can't continue in it because you never had it. If that is true for you, who continue to profess with your mouth, if that is true for you, you will be cut off. Now that's what Romans 11:22 just says so clearly. If you do not continue in the kindness, you also will be cut off. I close with this. It is my prayer, and oh, how I mean this, because it includes me, that we may continue in the kindness to others. And looking at Philippians 2:4, as we consider the things of others and not just ourselves. Folks, let's put goodness into action by being kind to others, thinking of others before we think about you and me. Before you think about you, and before I think about me. Amen.